Can you say prayer, honey?
Yeah. Dear Lord Jesus, just thank you again for us all meeting together tonight. And we just pray that we have a word that we can use in our lives, Lord, and it'll be an encouragement.
Amen.
And that we can... Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Baby girl, can you pass out the Bibles, please, to everybody? If you don't have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles for you. If you, a lot of people like to use electronics, and that's fine too, whatever. But the best kind of teachings in the world that you can teach are the ones that are given to you by the Holy Spirit. And the teaching I am about to deliver you, if you are suffering, if you are stuck, if you are in the midst of a trial, if you are going through a really bad time in your life, if your dog's missing, you lost your job, you're running out of money, if strange things are happening to you, like ice chunks falling out of the sky and breaking your windshield and your family getting lice and just losing your job and just all kind, I mean, when stuff happens that is completely out of your control and you've been playing pretend Christian, the following teaching is for you. I'm going to teach you exactly what you need to do to pull out of it, because this comes from someone who has gone through the fire himself, and is coming out of a horrible storm. My ship is tilted sideways. The masts are broken, but I can see dry land. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to teach tonight on being a good example. It's very, very, very difficult to be a good example. It is like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's so embarrassing to talk about being a good example, because while I'm beginning to teach this, and while the Holy Spirit was giving me the words and how to teach this, you know, sermon tonight, the Holy Spirit began to reveal to me all the things that I still have to work on. And for the last 2 weeks, for the last month, the Holy Spirit has been revealing to me things that I need to work on to be a better example. I need to be a better example. I need to be a better example. This specific trial that I've gone through right now, as horrible as it was, taught me that I really need to be a good example. We all really need to be a good example, because you can talk the talk, you can show up on Sunday, you can show up to Bible study, you can hang out with a bunch of Christians, you know, you can be the one when there's an argument when you're out with your girlfriends to be the one to pray and stuff, and maybe you can reach out to one or two people at the grocery store when your friends aren't around. And maybe you go to church and, you know, you really don't go up and get prayed for. But when you do, you're kind of lying down, but you really don't know what you're lying down for. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be that kind of Christian, but eventually you're going to be at a place and a time where you will show up and God will require you to take the next step. You've got to take the next step. You have got to start being a good example of Christ. You cannot walk the walk. You know, I mean, you get to a point where you can't fake it anymore. You have to really walk it. And it's so hard to be a good example. Let's look at some scriptures and get God into this before we start. You know, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. And the next one's going to be Proverbs chapter 24, 1 and 2. 1 Peter 2:16. The next one will be Proverbs 24:1-2. What does 1 Peter 2:16 say?
As free, yet not using liberty, as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God.
Amen. New Living's got, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants for God. So I was using my cover-up for evil. I was using the fact that I was a Christian and all this other stuff. I was letting everybody know, primarily people in the business world, You know, is this if it gave me some sort of subliminal clout, you know, that they were able to trust or you know, it would make business dealings. But what I was really doing was if anything gone wrong, if anything was to go bad, that would be one more reason for them not to come to Christ. When you hold yourself out as being a Christian, a lot of people don't hold themselves out. They go to the Bible study, they go to the church, but they don't advertise it. But when people know you're a Christian, you're going to have to be a good example. Because people look at your life, they look at how you're acting, they look at how you drive, how you talk, how you dress. Do you go out drinking? Are you gossiping? When they see you doing things that are not Christian-like, they begin to ask themselves, this guy's a Christian? So this is what Christians do. They go out and get drunk? So this is what Christians do. They go out and gossip? So this is what Christians do. They do all this unethical stuff for a living? So this is what Christians do. They stab their friends behind their back when they're not looking? You know? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 24, 1 and 2. Let's do that. Be not envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their hearts devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble. Amazing scripture. Titus chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says, likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching, show integrity and dignity. I am telling you, it is so hard to be a good example of Christ. It is so hard because the world is after you continually with temptation. I mean, every single aspect of my life in the world is controlled by Satan. He's got control of radio. He's got control of TV. He's got control of probably a little over 2/3 of the corporate environment. Yeah. I mean, it's just so worldly out there. Everybody's out to get you. Everybody's out to make money. You know, you've got these television programs manipulating people into thinking stuff that just isn't true. You know, and there are all of these people that are completely hypnotized by these reality television programs.
Or just to make it look bad. I mean, even all of the, you know, not that we're Catholic, but all of the things leading up to the vote of the Pope was, oh, Catholic Church is divided. They haven't made their decision yet. And it's like, usually the whole process could take weeks.
Amen.
But the media, everything was harping on the media. It's like, oh, Catholic Church is divided. They can't make a decision. They don't have a leader, blah, blah, blah. You know, so, but it's people saying that you're a Christian and Christians are bad. Yeah, Daddy's using the sweet.
That's why I try to separate myself. You always want to separate yourself from religion.
That's why we come over.
Try to separate, try to be a Christian. Try to be, you know, I always tell people, you know, especially all these people that I try to reach out to. Oh, I don't believe in religion. Religion's a crock of crap. I don't believe in religion at all. And I said, neither do I. I can't stand it. I hate religious people, too. Good thing I'm not religious. And they look at me like, well, don't you believe in Jesus? I said, yeah, I do. I'm on fire for Christ Christian. I have a relationship with Jesus. But we don't believe in religion. And that gets them thinking. They need to shut up and leave them alone. And let them dwell on that for a couple weeks in the world. You know, how you evangelize and reach out to people and plant your seeds is up to you, because each one of you has the gifting for it. But I want to tell you that the best way to bring somebody to Christ is by example. As Christians, we should be aware of what we're doing every day. We should know why we're doing it. If there's anything God is saving us from in this world, it's mindlessness. You know, I can look around me at the opportunities for action and know that I can do something, even though I'm a puny human being. Paul talks about things that are neither clean nor unclean in themselves, but he said, I will not be brought under their power. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. We're talking about being a good example.
Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything.
Amen. There is no lack of bad, ungodly, worldly influence around us. Let's be honest. The world's a cold place, man. That's why we need armor. That's why we have to have the mindset of Christ. That's why we pick up the cross and follow him. But let's talk about, you know, some positive examples. You know, things that really, really make a difference. What difference does it really make if you decide to be a good example today? If you have a good, positive attitude today, you don't know who is going to be there. But if you decide to have a good attitude no matter what else, what kind of impact does that have? Think about that, because if we don't think about it, we don't claim it, and we don't hold that possibility. You know, I think we all understand that it's part of our obligation as Christians, you know, but I want you to really think about what kind of difference this makes. I'm not talking about putting on your holy, you know, Joe attitude and quoting scriptures and saying, you know, praise the Lord at every opportunity you're out with your friends. Or I'm not talking about, you know, when you see the pastor walking across the room, pick up a chair real quick and, you know, act like you're doing some work. I'm not talking about, you know, faking being a Christian, praying for your friends when you're out at a bar drinking. I'm talking about really taking it to the next level. I'm talking about really being a good example. God has really spoken to me about what just a horrible jerk I am. I'm always in a bad mood. I'm always bitter. I'm always upset. You know? And as Christian men, a lot of men get upset in the world because they feel like they're misunderstood. You know, men feel like they're misunderstood because they work hard all day. The work never ends from 9 to 5. When you're in sales, you're working 24 hours a day, because when you're not working, you're worried. When you're not working, you're rolling around in a pearl in your brain, how to get that deal, how to close that deal, should I call that guy? You know, you're rolling around all these angles trying to make a living. You know, you sacrifice hours and hours and hours and hours to make sure those bills are paid, that the wife's credit card works, you know, that she has money to spend, that the kids are well fed. And at the end of the day, you're tired. And at the end of the week, you're exhausted. And at the end of the month, you're about ready to give up. And year after year after year, there are so many men out there that are struggling with a shovel to make ends meet, to make sure that the families are fed for. They feel unappreciative. And God revealed to me that that's what a man's job is. Not only do I have to do that, but I got to be happy about it. I got to be happy that I have a wonderful wife, because if you take care of your home first, it begins to flourish. If you water the tree in your home, the fruit that comes off of it is absolutely amazing. I make life good. My wife makes life better. And I honor God, and God honors me. And God taught me, be a good example. You can't go out there and cuss and have coarse joking and tell coarse jokes and goof off. And I mean, I'm talking about not just people you meet, but people you know, your good friends. Nobody will take you seriously as a Christian until you take the next step, take the next level, and really become an on fire for Christ Christian. And they can tell you're on fire, and they can begin to see you glow with the Holy Spirit. God begins to see you glow, and you take the next step. This whole trial that I've gone through was about Phil taking a step that I didn't want to take. I did not want to be a better example. I wanted to have my nice little lifestyle and call myself a Christian. Let's go to John chapter 13, 12 through 17. John chapter 13, 12 through 17. And I'm going to read it because it's a long one. Unless, Michelle, do you got it? John 13, 12 through 17. Do you have it?
So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so am I.
Amen.
If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you.
Amen.
Assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than who has sent
him. Amen.
If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.
Amen.
Is that it?
Amen, that's it. If Jesus had just stayed at the table as they sat and reclined and ate just a little bit more bread and drank just a little bit more wine, what kind of effect would it have had if he would have just, if he just said it as he leaned on his elbow at the table? What if he just leaned back and said that and everybody took another bite and said, "Yeah, Jesus, yeah." But knowing that his example would be heard by millions of people, he made a physical demonstration. He actually did what the servants usually do. They were all a little uncomfortable, I'm sure. He had kept talking about what would happen in Jerusalem, and they were in Jerusalem. They were not idiots. Then he pulls this. Not too many hours later, they all tucked tail and ran from him as the guards hauled him away to prison. You don't think this example struck with them? Absolutely. He needed to prove a point. He needed to give them the power of example. What you do is example. I mean, you know what? I fought being a good example because I really didn't think it had a very big impact. Because I would be a good example. I'd try really hard. I'd reach out to a friend. I'd take him out to the movies. You know, I try to be a good example with him. You know, I'd pray with him and stuff. I wouldn't coarse joke. I wouldn't drink. You know, I wouldn't talk about anything inappropriate. You know, and I wouldn't see a change. I wouldn't see this person change immediately. And I need to see instant changes. But this trial, I mean, I want you to imagine for a second having a business with no sales for 3 months. Having all kinds of people make false accusations against you. Having junk fall out of the sky and break stuff. Having sores break out on your body. I had to go to the emergency room because I had sores that were caused by this stupid powder stuff I bought at Nordstrom's that is going to be off the shelves soon because it's all over the internet. It's got a little herb in it that deteriorates skin. And it's like I'm powdering with it. It's called Down Under. We'll just leave it there.
Dry Down.
Oh, Dry Down or whatever. And it's more like dry pain. So now, I'm at the emergency room for that. And my life is falling apart. And I'm going through all kinds of trials and tribulations at work. People quitting. People not getting it. People just, I mean, I'm not going to tell you all the embarrassing things that happened. And here comes, you know, new trials. My mom gets hit with a stroke and she's paralyzed. And I'm sitting there listening to that trial, and then I get some new trials that were, in my mind, just as bad as that one. Then my grandmother gets a heart attack. My world was falling apart. And I am telling you right now that when I sat there over my mom's hospital bed and I heard my wife crying on the phone, I actually felt the Holy Spirit burning my face. It was like I was in a tanning bed. It was like I was having a niacin flush. It was the most amazing feeling I ever felt before in my life. And it emboldened me and gave me this new power that I never knew that I had. And that's when the Holy Spirit revealed to me. And the Holy Spirit doesn't talk to me. You just have an idea pop into your head and you get confirmation from 20 different sources. Be a better example. You want to serve me? Be a better example. How am I going to use you if you're not a good example? And that is what's spoken to me. And then everybody just fell suit. Pastor Lau told me, my mother-in-law told me, all my wife told me, you know, everybody's always talking about, you know, how come I'm mad sometimes and happy sometimes. And, you know, I just needed to be a better example. There are things that we, you know, as Christians need to be able to give an influence to the world around us. You know, we don't need to be providing, all these things that you worry about. We need to be providing an example. Because I'll tell you what, it's one thing to go out and give an amazing sermon. It's one thing to go out and give an amazing speech. But what really brings somebody to Christ, oh yeah, I know that guy. You know, that guy is an amazing guy. You know, he spent the whole weekend with me and helped me move. And, you know, I know he's kind of a goody-two-shoe, but... You know, I'm thinking of going to church, to be honest with you. I want what that guy's got. He's got a beautiful family. He's blessed. You have to be a good example. You know, how do you look to other people? Like, I am so upset at myself. Today, my wife invited me for breakfast. I'm not going to name the restaurant we went to because it's got a bad word and they serve biscuits and they're in Seattle. We'll leave it at that. Biscuit bitch. So what happens is it's like a two-way street. So I flipped a U-turn in the middle of the street and, you know, I inconvenienced these people for maybe 9 seconds, but boy, they laid on the horns. You know what I mean? And I put it in reverse. And I was going to back up and block off the whole intersection and get out of the car. This is the old Phil. But you know what? I need to be a good example. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Go and drive around. You really want to humble yourself? Start apologizing to these people that make your life miserable on purpose. Today I was at the office and I just sacrificed myself to the sales guys. What can I do to help you make more sales? What am I not doing for you? Please, I apologize if there's anything I haven't done. Apologize to my wife. Apologize to my kids. Apologize to people that I know. I am so sorry I haven't been a good example. There was a guy that texted me that I spent years reaching out to. Plant the seeds, text him, get him to come to church. Finally, he comes to church, he gets prayed for, he feels a little bit of the Holy Spirit, he starts coming back. Long story short, this guy left the church over some other issues. And I've been trying to get this guy back. And he texted me a couple weeks ago. Well, the reason why I haven't come back is because I just felt you were a really bad example. So instead of me being this guy's mentor, I was his friend. And when I'm someone's friend, you know, we have the little bit of coarse joking. We're guys. Maybe we go out for a beer or two. You know what I mean? So the penalty of that was that we probably lost this guy forever. You know, because I wasn't being a good example. And this was a guy that, you know, when you get close to people and you become friends and you really, really want, you know, to better your relationship and stuff, you know, you start divulging secrets to the person, you know, and they become your good friend. I mean, this was a guy I thought was a good friend. You know, and that really cut me to stone, man. And that was another confirmation. So there are ways that all of us can become better Christians. You know, when people see you, what do they see? Ask yourself that. What do they see? You know, what do they expect from you? You know, there's going to be people that are never going to like you. And there's going to be people that will never accept Jesus. They'll never come to church. There's no winning them over. That's what Jesus meant. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't worry about that one. But what does the Bible say? Luke chapter 6, verse 26. Let's go look at this. Luke 6, verse 26. Who's got it? Luke 6:26.
Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets.
Amen. 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 That is so powerful, because it's like, you know, you really want to make a good example on people. But what I learned was, you have got to be a good example. Otherwise, you are never going to win them over. You may bring them to church. You may get them interested in Jesus. But you've got to be a good example. And when you're a good example, it opens up a whole other floodgate for God to begin to use you. I didn't know that. I was trying to do it my way. I wanted to start my ministry. I wanted to go out and do, you know, I wanted to preach my Jesus. You know what I mean? But what God showed me is, if you're not a good example, you can never be used. And I'll tell you something, it's the people that are a good example that get blessed too. They get blessed. Amen? So don't worry about pleasing everybody. Just be a good example. You know, there are things we should be doing, you know, but we should be helping people out. Being a good example. You know, being on fire for Christ. Don't be afraid, you know, to speak, you know, your mind. Don't be afraid to, like, you know, stand up for Jesus. You know, when we become, you guys are all going to hit this. And you're going to have to make a decision. This is a big one. This is a huge one. And I don't know how many Christians over the last 3,000 years, believers, God's children have failed at this. And they stay stuck at the gate. Because it is a real mark of maturity. It's like a badge of honor you get. It's like some stripes you get on your uniform. You know, you first pass the little test, you know, where you don't, you know, lie, cheat, and steal anymore, kind of. You know, then you pass the second test where you're coming to honor God on Sundays. You know, maybe you pass the third test, you start tithing 10% of your income. You know, and then there's all these little tests that come along. And when you pass them and run them with a hurdle, God throws out grace on your life and bless you financially and la-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-di. But eventually, you get to one of the most brutal decisions. Brutal decisions. And that is to beat this example hurdle. And God will take away everything if he has to. People can never be biblical leaders and truly mature until they come to realize that God has called them to be examples to others. You know, as Jesus himself pointed out, a disciple is not greater than his teacher, but everyone, when fully trained, will be like his teacher. You know, the Lord was showing us that one true spirituality or godliness is revealed in our actions. You know, being a good example is not an option. It's a biblical command in Scripture. You know, we have no choice of being an example of some kind and having an impact on those around us. I thank God that I haven't destroyed all the people I planted seeds with. All of the people at the grocery stores, at the mall, at the 7-Elevens, at places where I work at, where I go, dude, girl, you better come to church. Girl, you better come to church on Sunday. Dude, why don't you, come on, man, you need Jesus. No, no, he's real. Come to Bible study on Wednesday. All those people you're planting seeds with, thank God I didn't go out with them. Or thank God, you know, and I'm being rough on myself. I have now maybe 2 drinks a year, 1 on vacation in Hawaii. But just not the drinking, but not the coarse joking, but just being a good example. You have to be a good example. You know, we need Christian maturity that provides people with real, honest-to-God examples of authentic, Christ-like living, especially today. You know, every TV program on TV is trash. I cannot believe it. And the one biblical program on TV right now is produced by the biggest reality show producer in the world, and that's his little Repentance. Well, I'll make up to thine, Lord, and just make a 7-part biblical series. You know, it's just, the whole thing is just, you've got to be a good example. Does everybody understand?
Yes.
Are you guys getting this?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't get it. Why is she sitting in line?
There are 2 more passages, okay? And then let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. And the second one is 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1, verse 6. 1 Thess 1, chapter 1, verse 6. What's the
first? Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ.
Be imitators of me just as I also am of Christ. Paul was a great example of Christ. I'm telling you, man, it is so hard to be a good example. It is really so hard.
First Thessalonians.
Yeah, go ahead, honey. 1 Thess 1, chapter 1, verse 6. And you became?
And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. We have got to be better examples. You have got to be a better example of Christ when you're in the dark. Not just when you're in the light. It's easy to be a good example when you're at church. It's easy to be a good example when you're around the pastor or leadership. But it's hard to be a good example when you're all alone and you're at the mall and some lady treats you really badly and rude. It's hard to be a good example when Comcast cuts you off for non-payment when you overpaid them and they applied your money to the wrong account. It's hard to be a good example when people despitefully use you. But I'm telling you what, if you are, and if you push in and you try to be a good example, I am telling you what, the Holy Spirit will fall down on you like you've never experienced before. Supernatural provision will be yours. God will open the door for you and money will just come into your hands. People always say, how do you do it, Phil? How do you make so much? I don't. It's God's money. But you know what? He cuts it off real quick, Jack, when he wants me to learn something. And right now, I want to teach you guys about being a good example. You guys, Jim, do you got anything to say, add? Anybody, Michelle?
I was going to say that I have been a Christian now for 10 years. And
longer than that. It's been 11.
We started at the church. In fact, I was just remarking to Tissa today that it was 10 years ago we came to the church. So, and I had accepted Christ about 4 months prior. So.
Oh, okay. I thought that.
So we've been at the church now for 10 years and a couple of months. And,
amen.
And so, you know, and before, I remember having like a bunch of anger in me all the time. I was exceedingly argumentative. Even though my husband thinks I'm argumentative, but it was just all the time. It was anger. It was the hostility towards people I didn't know. It was, always waiting to get the short end of the stick and be able to bitch about it or whatever. But then again, I was really fun. It was like this. It could turn on a dime at any time. And I would say that until you relinquish the I'm hurt, okay, I got to get rid of it. I'm done with it. The anger, I'm done with it. The impatience, I'm done with it. I don't have time, effort, energy, patience, interest to harbor it inside of me any longer.
Amen.
Because I just don't want that. Amen. I don't want to be that person. And so, you know, it's like every once in a while you get to recreate yourself, and you get to do that when you accept Christ, and you can let that stuff go, and you can just say, I'm starting all over. Nobody knew me before, or those that did will be impressed with who I am today, but I'm letting it go. I'm just letting it go. And so until you kind of relinquish that stuff, it makes it difficult to walk the walk of Christ until you have the stuff that's on the
You're
inside.
Right.
So
can I take it one step further and say that it's only through the, like, you have to come under the power of God to be able to relinquish it. Because sometimes you can't do it in your own might. Like, you may say, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And then it's still there.
Oh, it bounces back.
Yeah.
It's like
so it's really important
right
to
now, absolutely.
Like, surrender and know that, surrender to the power of God to do it. And by His grace alone, not our power.
And it's a forever thing. It's one of those things, because something new will come up.
Yeah.
You get kids, for instance.
Yes.
They really try that patience and anger and bitterness, or, you know, resentment that you don't have time with your family or friends or, you know, your husband or whatever. So, you have to manage it, and it's an ongoing thing forever.
Amen,
something.
Amen, and amen.
Just able to handle.
Well, let's pray about this, and then we'll do prayer requests. Dear Father God, dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much, Father God. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that the words that you spoke through me tonight, Father God, will radiate in the souls of those that came tonight, Father God, those that are listening online, Father God, those that may stumble on the website late at night and just need to hear the word of God, Father God. Thank you so much for this teaching, Father God. Thank you so much for those that came tonight. In your name we pray, amen.